guess we can't, as long as we're not weeds.
Good morning. It's 10 o'clock, and the date is, look at my agenda, October 22nd, and I hereby call the meeting of the Board of Supervisors to order. And if you'd like to, please join us as we say the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you, everybody. We have kind of a short agenda today, but it's very conservation heavy. So I'm glad to see people here from the Conservation Board and Department. And we'll have, we're interested in hearing what you've got to say. First order of business, adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt today's agenda?
So moved. Second.
Motion second. Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Agenda adopted. Next, we go to public comment number one, and this comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. If there's anybody who'd like to address any of the topics, would you please move to the microphone now? Seeing nobody moves the microphone, I'll close public comment session number one. Next, we have agency reports, and we have Brett McLean from Veterans Affairs. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
I thought everybody was here for the VA quarterly report.
Well, of course.
But you only have one report.
I only have one report. It's pretty, pretty short there. You each have a copy of that, and I provided you a copy of our newsletter. You're the only three people in the county that have one, so don't share it yet.
Okay, okay.
Not sent out yet.
Put it under wraps.
But it's going out pretty soon. Okay. Period. This for the quarterly report period covered July 1, 2019 to September 30th, 2019. Greetings from the Commission of Veterans Affairs. During the first quarter, we interviewed 257 veterans and surviving spouses for eligibility for federal, state, and county VA benefits. Aaron and I were pretty busy during the quarter with that many. The breakdown, the demographic breakdown is 201 men, 56 women. And then we break it down a little bit further, 32 who served during World War II, 41 who served during the Korea War, 73 Vietnam, 23 during Persian Gulf, 18 who served during the Cold War, 24 who served in Iraq or Afghanistan, which is commonly referred as OIF, OEF, and OND, and we had 4 that served in the Iowa National Guard and 42 surviving spouses. Also during the quarter, we did a couple of parades. We did the VA commission and the office staff. We walked and handed out over 400 flags in Ames at the Independence Day Parade and in Nevada at the Lincoln Highway Day Parade. Community outreach on July 18th, Aaron and I attended the Veterans Affairs Lunch and Learn, and that was held at Stevens Memorial Chapel. We had several veterans and non-veterans there. That program, we had a lot of different tables and different booths of, you know, VA healthcare and a lot of VA agencies up to that one. Hometown outreach, something I started about a year ago. That still continues. Kind of tailored it to where I can spend the whole day at these city halls. So in July, I went to Cambridge for a day and Huxley for a day. August, I was here in Nevada at City Hall for a day, Roland and Zearing that month. And then in September, we hit McCallsburg. There was at the American Legion, Story City, Slater, and Gilbert. Seeing quite a few of our folks out in those communities. Just setting up a table and advertising and seeing veterans and surviving spouses. Training and Education, September 12th, Aaron and I attended the Veterans Affairs Mental Health Summit, and that was held in Des Moines. And then September 20th, Aaron and I attended our Veterans Affairs District 5 training. It was in Garner, Iowa, with 14 other counties. I put a little geographic distribution of VA expenditures, and what that is, you can see the different years, and those are in millions of dollars. And that's dollars coming into Story County veterans and Story County surviving spouses. So in FY16, we were at $21.8 million. And then FY17 increased to $24.2 million. And FY18, $24.9 million. So we're heading in the right direction. I don't know what FY19 is going to be just yet. But those are some numbers that I have to share with you today.
Brad, one of the things I thought about when I looked at the numbers, I mean, $25 million, to put it in perspective, at least the county, as far as property tax, only taxes about $24 million, I mean, you know, as we've looked at for our budget. So you are putting into the economy in the county about the same amount about what we pull just in straight property taxes every year. So at some point, maybe we can coordinate, maybe with the Ames Economic Development Commission or whatever, to find out where that would rank Veterans Affairs if you were an actual employer. You know,
right.
About what would be the equivalent of it being as a payroll. Because it's paying for benefits and services for people. So I'd just be curious. Maybe we can find that out. Maybe work with Leanne or something just to find out where would that rank.
And I went back 20 years ago to see where this was. It was $3 million. So there's where we've gone in 20 years. But I also think of what if we have a business in the county bringing in these kind of dollars too, you know. So yeah, so that's the efforts that Aaron and I, when we talk to veterans about and surviving spouses about filing for service connected compensation or non service connected pension, and you know. We got that kind of money coming in. How much are you getting? You know, and a lot of times the veterans say, "Well, I'm not getting any of that." Well, you might if we do some paperwork and certain things line up for you. You know, so. And the other thing is too, even increasing this, if we have any veterans or surviving spouses when they pass away, their claims go with them, so we're making up for all the veterans that we're losing at the same time. So.
Okay,
thank you. Brett, I just have a question on your outreach. I think that's great that you've been going out to the local communities. I know you said you're going predominantly for the day, which is great. Are you going into the evening at all to capture some who may still be working and that you can capture them in the evening?
No, I haven't done that yet, but when we first started this, yeah, we were doing a half a day in this town, a half a day in that town. I just kind of found myself, you know, reloading the car, unloading the car, and driving. So this way, we open up the window.
Sure.
But right now, it's just for the day.
Gotcha. Okay.
But, I mean, that's a good idea that maybe go into the evening a little bit.
Awesome.
So, yep, I'll take that to the commission.
All right, great. Thank you.
Yep.
I had a question in terms of the demographic breakdown on the front. The surviving spouses are included in the gender breakdown, correct? So I'm not all of them would be female, but I was just trying to think about how many of your veterans that you were interviewing were female. Increasing.
I don't know that that's increasing. It's kind of staying the same if I look at all the, you know, month by month and by quarter. And you're right, men can be surviving spouses too. My dad's a surviving spouse of a veteran.
Okay.
So, so that kind of takes into play on that. A lot of the surviving spouses, I do have some coming in the office, but probably the majority of them are in nursing homes. When I'm outreaching, usually on Fridays, I'm in.
Okay.
I have enough nursing homes to spend the day in the nursing homes, probably on the average of, you know, on Fridays I do it,
probably 45 Fridays out of the year, something like that. But that's where I'm finding a lot of them, surviving okay. spouses. So, and for them, we can get a pension of $90 a month.
That's if they don't own property, correct?
Right. Well, they got to be on Title 19. Once they go on Title 19, then we can get them. Instead of them having, when they go on Title 19, they'll get $50 a month, and the nursing home will get the rest. Mm-hmm. So we can get them 90 on top of the 50 that will stay in their pockets, and give them dignity on, you know, they can purchase their own things and not having their kids buy things for them, and give them a little bit of dignity, and so we can file for those kind of things for those folks. Yeah.
That's an excellent benefit. Many years ago, I was a court-appointed guardian for a couple of elderly people who were in nursing homes. And yes, that $50, you know, sometimes they can use it. But I had one resident who was somewhat independent as far as being able to enjoy activities, et cetera. And so I mm-hmm. don't think anybody ever told me about that $90. Yeah. I know he was a veteran. I know
that. So that's what's happening. I'm educating them as we go here. They don't know about these programs. And then I help them through the paperwork.
No, $50 a month does not go very far.
No, no.
It doesn't cover up the things.
No, time to get your nails done and your hair done and cable TV, right? So there you go.
For him, I just...
Yeah, you know, that's just about it.
Yeah.
You got those things, and you got some occasional clothing, and $50 doesn't do it.
So,
yeah, well, thank you very much. Any other questions for Brett?
No. Right.
Thank you very much, Brett.
Yes. Yep. Thank you for all that you're doing. Okay, and we'll go on to consideration of minutes. We have the minutes from our October 15th meeting. Is there a motion to adopt those?
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes from October 15th.
I would second.
Okay, discussion? Hedden?
Aye.
Colson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Minutes adopted. Next are personnel actions, and I would entertain a motion for the personnel actions as listed.
I would so move as presented.
Second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Seddon?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Next, we will go to consent agenda.
I will move adoption of the consent agenda. Excuse me, a little tongue-tied this morning. As presented.
I will second.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. Seddon?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Consent agenda. Items are approved. And now we go to additional items. The first one is discussion and consideration of appointments for asset for an unexpired term ending 3/31/22, Sue Draper. I think you've seen her application. She has served on asset previously and has been recommended to be on again. So is there a motion to appoint her to asset for the unexpired term?
I would move that we appoint Sue Draper to ask to be one of our volunteers on asset for the unexpired term ending March 31st of 22.
I second that motion.
Okay. Motion and second. Discussion?
I just wanted to say thank you. I believe Carla Webb may have done the reach out on this, correct? Or was this? Yes. Thank you, Carla. Thank you. And because I'm pleased, since she's done it before, she did it for the City of Ames before, right? And it's nice for us to be able to step in and be able to fill right away with somebody with experience. So
okay. And then we'll vote. Was it your motion?
It was.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Seddon?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Sue is appointed. Thank you very much. Next would be discussion and consideration of appointment to the Conservation Board for a five-year term of Nancy Franz. Nancy is currently serving. Dr. Franz is currently serving on the Conservation Board, and they would like to have her continue. I checked with the chair, and he said very definitely. She's been a very, very, very valuable member, so I'd entertain a motion to appoint her to another term.
I will make the motion to appoint Nancy Franz to another five-year term ending 12/31/24 to the Conservation Board.
I will second.
Any discussion?
I just want to thank her for the first term of service and just make note for the record that as of the application deadline period, our original, Dr. Franz was the only applicant also, just so that we were able to move forward with this quickly.
Thank you for mentioning that. Anything else? Okay, then we will vote. Hayden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Okay, Nancy, you're reappointed. Thank you. And next, we will hear from Conservation Director Michael Cox and Mr. Tedesco, if you'd like to also, I assume. And regarding a consideration of an agreement with the Trust for Public Land for a local funding feasibility study. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Just plain old Ted.
Thank you.
I don't know that very many people, when they talk about Ted, say plain old.
No.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, very good. Thanks for the opportunity this morning. We have chatted about this in the past, I think on a few occasions, but we have reached out with the board, both boards' desires and requests, Conservation Board as well as Board of Supervisors through an organization called the Trust for Public Land, for some assistance in providing some information to us about local funding options. They came back to them with a proposal to do so, and the proposal you see is what we were acting on here this morning. What they are proposing is to do a site feasibility study, essentially a county feasibility study for local funding, sustainable local funding initiatives. We're not limiting their scope in what they measures that they might identify. This work, they'll do a very thorough examination of everything that might be applicable or appropriate for us, available to the county to implement for sustainable funding. Funding that could go toward conservation projects, could be trail projects, could be waterfall projects, could be any number of different types of projects, could be infrastructure, park projects, something like that, that this could potentially go toward. So this was first identified, I guess, in the last strategic plan that the Conservation Board did. In there called out the potential review of available sustainable funding measures. And so we're moving forward with that. And the Conservation Board has considered this proposal before you here today, and the Conservation Board has recommended this and moving forward with it. One thing in addition, I would note that funding for this would not be general fund money, but it would be trust fund money, conservation trust fund money that comes from donations. So it's not going to be tax act dollars that would fund it. With that, Ted's here to give you the conservation board perspective on this.
Thank you, Mike. The board unanimously supports doing this feasibility study. The options that have been given to conservation to meet the demands that we're now facing. Usage in our parks is tremendously going up. Also, more opportunities for parks, trails, etc., has skyrocketed. The only way that we can really see in the future of getting funding to be able to meet some of those demands and also meet some of the demands for keeping our infrastructure operating at a peak level is by looking at the option of feasibility for a bond issue for conservation or funding that can be there for years. We know that there are certain limits that you as a Board of Supervisors and your budget can do, but we need to look at the future and see what's available.
Okay.
I.
You have a question?
Well, no, I have comments. So please, if anybody has a question first.
No, I guess I do recall us talking about this previously. I think I was at your office, Mike, and we talked about looking at, and if I recall, this is what you're looking at, is doing that feasibility study to just have a better understanding of what potential money might be available to sustain kind of our natural resources and stuff through there. So this, I'm gathering, this is your proposal. And I know you've come before the board as well to say that this is something we're wanting to look at. Is I think we actually even supported something in the past to say for you to start even just kind of looking to see of an entity who might be
correct.
Doing that. Is that correct? I'm just trying to recall back just a few months. I just want to make sure I'm talking apples to apples, not apples to oranges.
Yes, no, absolutely. So I think the first time that this particular project came on the board was maybe two different meetings when we discussed reaching out to and making a request for assistance with the Trust for Public Lands.
Right.
So at that point, we had a discussion. I think it was two meetings perhaps that we did that. And the board then ultimately decided to move forward and make requests. That was the trigger, if you will, that that generated the proposal that we have now.
Okay. I have a couple questions. I went back and I read, I think you gave this to us the last time. It was the proposal they did for Linn County. And am I correct that it's a two-phase kind of a process? First, is this document phase one, and then is the public opinion survey phase two?
So, yeah, that's a very good question. And it all depends. So at the culmination of this feasibility study, we'll be presented with a number of options for funding. Depending on the desires of the conservation board and the board supervisors at that time, will dictate next steps or action steps, of course. If that action step is to look at the potential of local funding, then the next step for that is a polling. It's a polling increase. And so, yes, you're accurate, but that would be the next step if, in the menu of options that were given, we opt to go down the road and we're investigating more of the potential of local funding. Then polling phase.
And did they give you a two-part question? Did they give you any idea of what a cost would be on the polling phase? And the second part of the question is, would there be money in the conservation budget as well to cover that cost?
First part is, yes, I did get an estimate for that, and it's going to be somewhere around $20,000.
Around $20,000 for the polling. Okay.
And second part of that question is, yes, I think the Conservation Board is intent on continuing to fund that with donation dollars, not with tax dollars.
Okay. Is there anything, are there any additional perceived or possible costs after that? One might be a special election.
So,
and that would be an expense.
Again, there's all kinds of ifs. We're going down the road of different scenarios.
Yeah.
But keep going down that road. If the, after, again, if we do the polling, so if we decide to look into that, and we conduct the poll data, then there's another decision, of course, and that is what we do with that.
Mm-hmm.
To say, well, we didn't get the information that we think might support moving forward with bonds, so we can just say we're not going to do that. Or we could say, well, no, yeah, it looks like the polling said that the residents would really support this, and so therefore the decision could be made moving forward with that.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward with that, again, we'd be you'd be into the campaign stage. Of developing deliverables, materials, messaging,
Okay. And I just, my thought about the polling is, even if the polling were to say, give us the conclusion that it's not time to go out for a bond issue like this, there could still be valuable information that helps the Conservation Department plan.
Absolutely.
I have a couple more questions, and I'm taking you to questions
go for it.
First.
Yep.
Okay. So this study, I read this again, Linn County. And it seems to me there's a lot of useful information, but it's kind of general information that's already out there. It doesn't seem like it would be a huge, I mean, they've got some updating maybe in terms of legislation from last session, you know, about levees and, you know, that kind of thing. And I think some different climate things that have happened since then, you know, in particular Ames and the Healthy Life Center vote, I think is something they would want to put into consideration there. So do you see any other things that would be different?
You know, when you talk about that, I know that community specifically they brought that up in the past, mm-hmm. and we had this discussion. And so that was part of our discussion when we reached back out to the Trust for Public Land.
Okay.
We want to be exhaustive in what's reviewed and what analyzed. And don't want it to be an exercise that has a limited scope. It has to be very comprehensive and to give us some value. So,
okay.
You know, we've had that discussion, and you know, that concern is not, you're not the only one that has that concern. I think we want the most out of this process and we're prepared to get it.
Okay.
Tell us the truth.
Exactly. Not a puff piece, not a promo, but yeah, where's Story County in this? And yeah, the one thing I saw there was some that I really was kind of struck by is there was some talk about projects that Linn County was doing, but I didn't really get from us. Here are a really strong case in here of here's why we need this money. Here are the really issues that we see that are really important. The things we're not getting done now are not getting done as quickly as we would like to. I really think that could be strengthened in it. And that may go into that second part as well, but unless the vision that the Conservation Board has is really, you know, illustrated and really, you know, in this document, I think that leaves a big blank in my mind. So...
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I think we have to have a little more detail to bring out to the public,
mm-hmm.
not just a big phase that we
mm-hmm.
need this money or nothing, because they'll question where it's going.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we need to convince ourselves to go out for that phase too.
And that would be part of the polling
mm-hmm.
phase as well.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
If we go down that road, is what are the kind of things that the public
Mm-hmm. And I assume that you would want to go into phase two in partnership with the Board of Supervisors as well as you're doing with phase one. Okay. That's all my questions.
Okay. So when I read through this, the first thing that struck me is that it different than what we just talked about before, is this talks about only looking for public options. And I had been under the impression that they were going to tell us about all the options. And the conservation staff has done an excellent job over these last years of identifying every grant, every funder and nonprofit agency funder and whatever. I mean, we already know this information. And so when I start reading about the public funding, and we know what our options are, and they can boilerplate it right out of Linn County. We don't have any more options than Linn County does as a county moving forward, correct? I mean, we can bond for it. We can try to pay for it out of TIF. We can try and give you more of the general fund. Welcome to our options. Yeah, so that was the first thing that just hit me, is they're going to repeat what our staff already knows here, okay? So then I took a look at here is what's sustainable. And I look at sustainable as what will keep you guys going year after year, not what do we need to build specific projects. Okay, and of course, the most sustainable funding we have right now for the conservation department is the 22 cents per every property tax dollar that we pull by state law says has to go to the conservation department. There's your sustainability. Okay, so I like that Supervisor Merkin asked the questions about how much in this report are we going to get that are detail related to us. So I thought about this a little further about the process. You happen to have three supervisors up here who've all written grant applications at one time or the other. And knowing what it takes to pull it together, you look at how much of this information does the county already have, and it's really going to be county staff members who are going to be approached by the trust to pull this data in reorganizing. So I came to the conclusion that what we're paying the $24,700 for is for someone to do what our staff doesn't have time to do, and maybe think of some other things that the staff would not look at. So I want you to know how I'm supporting this, okay, is that I'm supporting it, but I want us to be very realistic about what we're paying $24,700 for. And then Ted brought up the last point just right there flat out. This is really to look at whether we can bond or not, if we want to bond or not. This is why we were approached about this. This was the whole point. And Conservation Department, our Conservation Board does have, we're working on a new strategic plan now, right? And Mike, I assume you've updated that 10-year out, that spreadsheet you've got, right? I think mine is 3 years old, so I'd like to see that. And that's the part I think gets into if we do formal polling on it. But I just would like to kind of come to brass tacks here on it. This is what we're doing. I would be thrilled if we learned about one more public option at the end of this than our staff already knows about. But I am willing to support this from the standpoint of it will do what the staff, I don't think, has had time to do and would have to fit it in with other duties, and will be someone who has a lot of experience in boiling this down. So those are why I said I wanted to make comments.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. This brought up another question to me. What happened in Linn County? What happened in Linn County as a result of the study?
They did decide to go forward with a bond, and then that bond passed.
How much was it?
I don't know, but I know Johnson County passed $50 million.
Polk did. Johnson did 20.
I think.
So that would have been in 2016 or 2017. No, the report was April 16. We can find that out. Okay. So what we're hearing is we'd like to know if there are any other public funded options or any other options than what they've simply talked about in Linn County. Are there other things out there? And also more what the vision of the Conservation Board is.
Right.
Yeah.
I think one thing that works right, our staff has done a tremendous job in finding every grant dollar and every credit. Now we're trying to find where are other places we can go for funding. Yeah. But I don't think our staff has the time to research that. So in case what we're doing here is trying to have some organization that can help us identify what those are, got to fly.
Yeah. And then I did have one question. I think as we go through and read this, it says 2019, but they're not going to really have something back to us by the end of 2019. Okay. So I just want to make that note. I think we're looking at it coming back in 2020.
Right. Okay. Yep. It'd be amazing if they did.
I tell you what. Yeah. So I really don't, like I said, I'm supporting this. So I'll be happy to make the motion if we're ready for that. Okay. I just wanted to kind of lay it out in more black and white terms what's happening here.
Any other questions?
No, I don't have any other questions. Do you have kind of a general timeline of when they may, once this is, if this is approved, once, when they would get started?
They'll get started right away.
Okay.
They'll get going right away.
And when are you planning to have your strategic plan updated?
Well, the current one was 18 through 21, 3-year plan. So we haven't begun the process yet. We keep updating the strategic plan. We keep the CIP updated, and that's active on annual food and conservation. Mm-hmm. The strategic plan is a 3-year document that we have to update.
Would it be useful to update it to get an early update to be available for this study?
Would it be
useful to get it updated now for the purposes of this study?
Something we can consider. I want to chat with Dr. Franz about that. She's the one that helped us.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking.
So I want to chat with a few people about that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking this looks at long-range needs.
Sure.
So whatever's available, if, you know.
Yeah. Or doing something in concert.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Especially since the bonding, let's say we are looking at a $20 to $30 million ask by the time we're done looking at this the public's going to want to know where is that money going. They're not, you know, the list that you provided today is great for, say, it'll give you the types of things we're looking at. But I come back to sustainable. For some people like me, sustainable is how are you going to pay the bills year after year after year and keep up whatever we build or expand on. Okay, mm-hmm. And so combining that with what would we like to build? How would we like to expand our trail network, or what kind of facilities, or what kind of options are there for more park area, public, you know, for us to acquire more land, which is more of a long-term thing. So yeah, so if the conservation board and the staff, because it's not like the staff has anything else to do, but could maybe look at that, headed up a little earlier. I think that would be very helpful in the polling phase of it. So, I do want to make one more comment here about the polling issue. I think Mike has sat in here before and heard me over the last 2.5 years about I don't like upcharges for third-party contracts. So I constantly, on the architect and engineering context, say I want to scratch that 10% that the entity is getting just for their staff to pick up the phone and have a third-party expense then sent to us. Okay? So I did notice in here that the way this is proposed, it's a separate item, but phase two says we would hire the trust who would turn around and hire a polling expert. And that, to me, is an upcharge. So I just want to warn you that while it does not affect us today, please be prepared for that discussion, at least from me on it, about why would we use them as the middle person. But that would depend a little bit about what the cost of that would be. Just heads up on that, all right?
Okay. There's nothing else. I'd entertain a motion.
I move that we approve contracting with the Trust for Public Land to conduct a feasibility study on the potential for local public funding options for the conservation projects and other needs in the future, with the funding to be paid for with the $24,700 fee to be paid from private donations as opposed to property tax revenue.
Second.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, Olson?
Aye.
Edens?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Motion is carried.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
Thanks for your work on this.
And Mike, you did a really good job of walking the board through this with the various steps and the discussion. Thank you.
Mike will be joined by Erica Place, who I assume is going to talk to us about a bird-friendly county.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was hoping for a little bit bigger crowd because I'm very excited about this topic and I want to share it with so many people. So have you heard of bird-friendly Iowa before?
No? I just did the other night.
Okay. So I'll get a little background first. So bird-friendly Iowa is a partnership, essentially, between about a dozen or so conservation organizations throughout the state. And some examples of those are Trees Forever, Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, conservation districts. So the thought is that by working together, they can get more done in the way of bird and habitat conservation and education. It's only been around for a couple of years. It's a pretty new entity. And they rolled out their first phase of their community and education outreach efforts through a program called Bird Friendly City, which is kind of similar to like the Trees Forever City, Tree City USA. So the idea is that cities would submit an application demonstrating that they met some minimum number of criteria and that they were being bird friendly. Those criteria could be, does your city have open spaces with natural habitat? Or does your city promote or partake in some sort of a bird census or account? Or are you doing education or promotion about birds in your city? So those are just some examples of the criteria. And if the city was able to demonstrate that they were doing a lot of good bird conservation work and got designated as a bird-friendly city, you know, they would get some supports, like some signs to go in their community and a flag and just some general support with publicity or events if they wanted to do those in the future. But the most important thing they got from the designation was signifying that their community recognized that birds are more than just pretty. You know, they have economic and environmental and quality of life impacts as well. And birds as a whole are facing a lot of challenges. So it's great if you can demonstrate that your community is doing their part in protecting the birds that we have. So that has been going on for a couple of years. And Bird Friendly Iowa is now ready to roll out their next phase of education and outreach in a program called Bird Friendly County, which is why I'm here today, because I think that we have a good chance of becoming one of the first. The program is structured very similarly to Bird Friendly City. Obviously, some of the criteria is a little bit different than it would be for a city. But the goal or the reasons for becoming designated are the same. A designated county would, it was showed to the public, you know, both residents and visitors to that county, that that's a county that celebrates birds. You know, that they want to do their part in reducing threats to birds, that they're keeping birds in mind when they're making decisions, they celebrate them and want to keep them around as a vital part of our ecosystem. So both Mike and I had the opportunity, along with other employees from a couple different conservation departments through the state, to provide input as this program was being put together. So we got to help build some of the criteria. And I believe you have a copy of the criteria in front of you. So again, the county, the applying county, would need to demonstrate some minimum requirements that they're meeting some of that criteria. We are not going to have any problem doing that here in Story County. We've already looked through and we're confident that we qualify to be designated. And the intent from Bird Friendly Iowa is that the application would be compiled by staff and volunteers from the Conservation Department, maybe some other county departments as well. Individuals who are interested from the public, maybe representatives from different community organizations, but then the final application would be submitted by the Board of Supervisors, which, you know, shows that the county as a whole is bird friendly. The application is due in December, so so there's still plenty of time for us to get in on this first round of applicants. And like I said, I think we have a great chance at getting designated this year. So Mike and I are here this morning to ask for your approval and moving forward in the application process to get designated as a bird-friendly county.
And there is a fee, correct?
There is a fee, yep. And that fee is $100
each year?
Yes.
Okay.
And that would go towards not only those signs and flags that I mentioned that they give out, but also the other support that they provide. One of the things that they offer is consultation. So someone or maybe multiple people from the steering committee would come and help you figure out other ways that you might be able to be bird friendly. And publicity support as well, getting the news out and spreading the word that Story County is a bird-friendly county.
Looking at the criteria,
mm-hmm.
It looks like there might, out of this sometime, come some proposals for county ordinances.
Yep.
Because we some of the criteria, it looks like, just looking at it quickly, we don't meet them all, so I assume conservation will kind of be the lead department on this and might be bringing some suggestions to the supervisors for ordinances.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know necessarily that would manifest in the form of ordinances, but we would certainly be happy to lead the charge, and if there are suggestions and ways that we can be more bird-friendly,
mm-hmm.
Offhand example might be putting together pieces about how to prevent window collisions,
mm-hmm.
Whether, you know, that's for residents or for our county buildings, if there are things that we could do in our county buildings to help with window collisions. So yeah, I don't know necessarily that it would manifest in ordinances, but we're definitely going to revisit the criteria and see each year, you know, how can we continue to be better.
Okay. Other questions?
No, I went through and counted just about what I know that we do, and we clearly meet and exceed. We exceed in each category, though. And I also looked and I said, oh, we could, like our communication towers, maybe we tweak that ordinance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see some things here. So my question then, related to $100 a year, is a very affordable fee,
mm-hmm.
especially if they provide signs,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. So I was wondering about the ability to possibly in the future, as we go through this, do some signs similar to the watershed signs that are up, mm-hmm. maybe in some key locales or areas where we have created a particular wetland for the sensitive or native sensitive birds. Anyway, that's just something to think about, you know, in the future. I really liked it. It was exciting to read it, and I thought,
yeah.
And when we talked the other day, you said conservation department could probably pay the fee. Is that your intent? Would pay the fee.
Okay. So this is intent of thank Eric for doing this. The idea for Bird Friendly Iowa started, like she said, a few years ago. And this spring there were a couple of conservation directors who got together and said, what do we think about bird friendly houses?
Mm-hmm.
So we were at the table having those discussions, and that quickly grew and got more interest in the county's end of the bird friendly Iowa steering committee. And so Erica has just done a yeoman's job of helping the state statewide effort to be coordinated. She's not excited about it.
No, not at all.
And it's great to have
Erica's
expertise to lend to our larger efforts and guide us through it as well. So we've reached out to, Eric and I reached out to a few community members that we thought might be interested in working on this with us, and they truly are. And there's a number of them that are very interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
Working knowledge on bird-friendly Iowa at the same time.
Right.
It wouldn't be a lot of
interest.
thank you for your work on
that. Thank you.
I'd consider a motion.
I'll make the motion to move forward and a fine for Story County to be designated as a bird-friendly county.
I will second that.
Okay. Further discussion? If none, Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Motion
thank
approved.
You.
Thank you very much. Okay. Anything else, Conservation Department? Anything else? You're on a roll here. So.
More money.
We'll get you checked. Okay, we'll move on then. We have no department reports. We have no other reports listed. Does anybody have any upcoming agenda items for meetings they'd like to comment on? Nope.
I do.
You do?
Okay. Oh. So the first one is just to let you know that yesterday I received the draft proposed, first proposal for the new 28E agreement for the Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act regional realignments for our region in Iowa. So I just want to let you know I'm going to refer it to legal. I know we have referred a lot to legal lately. So, all right, but I did want to let you know that I've gotten that. The other thing is that I became aware on Friday about the situations with our two largest food pantries in the county, MICA and Salvation Army, being completely out of donated food on their shelves. So they're having to use cash to buy food. And there are some problems with that are complicated even further with the fact that Fresh Time Grocery at Ames has announced its closing, because Fresh Time has been donating a lot of their excess produce to both Salvation Army and the MICA Food Pantry. So they're getting hit both ways about what they're going to need to do with that cash. And part of the issue also is that the Food Bank of Iowa, while it sells food to food pantries at a very reasonable cost per pound, like 15, 20 cents per pound, it doesn't stock everything. And so both of our food pantries are out of some basic items. And so I sent off an email to Team Story on Friday afternoon late asking if they would be interested in taking on just a county food drive. Okay. And then I also did some outreach personally through Facebook and possibly getting the Kiwanians involved, et cetera. This is literally their bear of like fruits except for apricots, and what 10-year-old eats an apricot. I mean, you know, that type of thing. So anyway, I've heard back from Team Story, and Team Story has several projects going right now. So Cassandra Ames said, so would prefer that the Board of Supervisors announce that there's a food drive, kind of take some of the organizational part of that, and then Team Story would look forward then to discussion about how they could participate. So I was thinking that next week we're going to have the Hunger and Homeless Awareness Week proclamation. That at that point, we maybe on the agenda could have something about whether we want to just be a drop-off point and ask for a press release saying, you know, the administration building will set up a table, and anybody, whether it be staff or members of the public who want to drop off food, I can haul it in my Explorer going home and see that it gets to those two for maybe, and just do that for a couple weeks. So that's what I am planning on putting on the agenda for next week, is if we want to do that rather than a formal of us having us, maybe just designating us, allowing those agencies to designate.
Let's talk about that. I think that's a good idea, but we have to realize that we're down staff right now. We've got some staff going to be on vacation.
Right.
So let's talk about what exactly we would need to face touch on what exactly we need to do to make sure that we can get that resolved. You know, get some responsibility.
Oh, got it. Okay. All right. So that's fine. But you asked about future agenda items. So think about that over the next week. And then if anybody wants to go ahead in the meantime and, you know, donate privately to either one of those. So,
okay. Okay. Anything else?
Not on for upcoming agenda items.
Okay. I don't either. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements from the supervisors.
Are you doing public forum number two?
Oh, I am.
Double checking on that.
Thank you. Public forum number two got lost in the notes I was keeping on the agenda.
Where you were going to skip us?
Oh, I guess we have somebody.
It's been so long since you've had anybody at public forum number two.
Thank you.
Ted Rasmussen, Story County Treasurer, Colo, Iowa. I just wanted to make a quick comment that the Story County Treasurer's Office is working with the Blue Star Mothers of Iowa on their holiday supply drive for holiday care packages that they are going to serve to or send over to Iowa troops serving overseas. We have a drop box in the office, and there is a supply list of preferred supplies, but they would be happy to accept things to send over to our troops. So that was my only comment.
I have a question, Ted.
Yeah.
Okay. So last year when the office did this, which I think is really good, I debated about whether to give actual goods on the list or a check. I decided just check. But I was thinking about that as I was looking at batteries. That's one thing on the list, all right? I thought, boy, how do they ship them? I mean, is it affordable to ship those? And, you know, about some of those items weigh a lot.
Okay. From talking to them, all monetary gifts go towards postage because they do have some big postage costs. I do not know if they work to get a better rate either through shipping it through the military directly or not. I'm not sure on that. I can ask a follow-up to see what the shipping costs are, but I know that, that on their sheet they say that all postage. And then we put out a press release yesterday. We had more contact with them. Last year, they did 118 care packages for their holiday drive. This year, they said there are many more Iowa troops serving over there, so they would really like to try to up that number.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, and thanks to your staff for doing this.
Yep. Okay.
Now, liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements.
I want to do a little update on the Aging Resources meeting that I went to last week. They had a presenter, Dr. Shaw, who spoke about at Broadlawn that they have, it's actually been going for about 6 years now, a geriatric and memory clinic. I was not aware of this. Some of the things that they do really try to work on prevention to folks that are in like their 40s and 50s to help delay dementia. Their center does prevention, diagnosis, and then caregiver support. Some of the things that they've talked about that can be done to help delay dementia and actually delay it 15 to 18 years are taking care of chronic conditions, and those chronic conditions include hearing loss, low education, smoking, depression if untreated, these others if they're untreated, hypertension, cholesterol, diabetes, getting out and doing that physical exercise, and then diet, eating healthy. They talked about just watching your general lifestyle and then avoiding medications that can affect your memory as well. And obviously there are some folks that need to be on certain medications, but just to be kind of cognizant of that. One of the things that they did say that can also help kind of delay dementia is folks that are lonely tend to have that higher risk. And what I found very interesting is loneliness is like smoking 12 cigarettes a day. That's what the research shows, that loneliness is like smoking 12 cigarettes a day. So it just really showed the importance of connectivity to other individuals, and when you look at people that are living a little bit more isolated, the importance of having folks come in and checking on them and getting them out in the public and stuff. I just found that about that very interesting. So I just want to update on that particular piece of information. Then I'll just add that I have the Ames History Museum. I believe the meeting is in Ames this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Prairie Trail meeting tomorrow night at 6, and then there's a quarterly orientation tomorrow at 2. And then I wasn't quite sure for Thursday, the Grant 5, do we need to be at that meeting?
No.
That one didn't look like. I just want to make sure.
It's been opening, so if you want to see it.
Right. Then we've got Story County Economic Development meeting at 10 on Thursday. I also have CICS and CIR.
Friday, I have the Center for Juvenile Detention Center meeting up in Eldora. And then Monday night, I have a MICA board meeting. So, busy week.
Season of board meetings.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Takes the season.
The aging resources information is very interesting. I have to admit, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about exercise, companionship, getting outdoors, and I was thinking about all the programs the Conservation Department operates that older islands can take, or Story County residents can take advantage of. So,
it helps me to eat more salad and get on my treadmill more.
Yeah. Oh, that exercise part, yeah. But that's good information. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Is that Rizwan Shah?
Pardon?
Rizwan Shah?
I believe that's how he pronounces his name, and Dr. Bender is who started it.
Okay.
I know I agree with that.
Anyway. Okay.
Okay. Right. So moving on. Last week, I attended Future Ready Ames High School (AHS) and taught a money know-how of some sessions, four sessions. So the big takeaway for me personally was how early today's teens are exposed to some basic money practices because they have debit cards. That is something that in my teenage years did not exist. And there's no way my parents would let me have a checking account with a checkbook. But it also, I looked up a couple statistics about the work habit histories for teens, and I was affirmed by the people in the four groups I had that there are fewer teens, at least in the Ames area, that go to Ames High School, who are holding part-time jobs or even holding jobs in the summertime. So that was kind of the takeaways. An update quickly that the Board of Supervisors were met on a ministerial basis, kind of workshop basis, with the auditor, and we're starting to look at the fiscal year 21 budget work sessions, et cetera, but that'll come out later. Saturday evening, I attended a community appreciation and support event at Huxley. This was the first one, and it honored Huxley's EMS, fire, and police. And the speaker was our own Keith Morgan, which I did not know until I showed up. So we've had a couple of those activities this month where we've shown up at an event, and it was a staff member who was speaking. So maybe after the first of the year, we can figure out how we let everybody know when people are speaking, just so we can come. He did a great job, wonderful job, talking about the people who show up when others don't, and that these people were all, they show up. So it was great. Story County Hunger Collaboration met last week, which obviously is where I picked up the information, and they brought back some great ideas from the Iowa Hunger Summit. One of them that everybody was excited about is there's another community in Iowa that distributes packaged meals, prepackaged meals, they happen to be burritos, via bicycle. So the bicycle clubs volunteer to take the burritos out to set locations where people who are not interested in coming into a food program, which like Food at First would be, can come and get a burrito. So we'll see where that goes, okay? This week, yes, in addition to the meetings that Lisa mentioned, I will be trying to attend the Syrite board meeting as an observer. Of course, I do that to keep track of serving, since I serve on the Ames Area Metropolitan Planning Organization and also on the HERTA board. And the discussion there is going to be on ridership declines. So that's something that HERTA is looking at a little bit, and it's more also a shift of what kind of demand for ridership is. Also, I have a HERTA executive board meeting, then the full board meeting on Thursday morning, plus with the Story County Economic Development Group. So I'll actually be driving down to attend the early morning exec meeting, getting in my car and attending the full board meeting by phone so that I can make the economic development meeting. I also plan on attending the DOT's information meeting regarding the proposed Highway 30 interchange at 580th Avenue. They put those out, look at the plans, okay?
And then the Ames Economic Development Commission board meeting is Friday morning. And I sent you an email both on those about if you're interested in also hearing, considering the presentation will be on the entertainment center being proposed at Iowa State.
Where and when's the DOT meeting?
The DOT meeting is going to be at the Baptist Church again, Crossroads Baptist Church, right on the east side of I-35. And it is, I believe, Friday night, but let me confirm that for you.
Yeah, I'd like to confirm that. So you can get that too.
I'll send it to both of you.
Okay, sure. Uh-huh. Well, I think I have most of those on my calendar also, and then Thursday I also have a Prairie Rivers of Iowa board meeting, so it sounds like we'll all be in a lot of meetings this coming week.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Anything else?
No.
Good to be here.
Good.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Hedden?
Aye.
Wilson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you.